For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our series of That One Play. We're looking back at one good play for the Ravens. Didn't have a great outcome in the end for the Ravens, but that's what we do in this show. A lot of it is some good plays, bad outcomes. We're looking back at the 2014 AFC Divisional game and an interception by Darryl Smith that should have done a lot more for the Ravens towards winning that game. Here to talk to me about it is Doug Shanahan. Doug, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Ken. Glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you, Doug. And just in our production meeting, you have a tremendous, not only recollection of this play, but of the season and the lead up to this. So I want to let you kind of handle this. Take us through that 2014 season and where the Ravens were coming into this playoff game at New England.
Okay, so this is Joe Flacco on his white horse game. He is rolling, absolutely rolling. We know about 2012, but the previous week, he goes up to Pittsburgh and crosses another quarterback off of his playoff list, beating Roethlisberger, with two touchdowns, no interceptions. And then he comes back to his favorite place to play football, which is Foxborough, against Brady. And through the third quarter, he would have four touchdown passes. He's on a string, 17 touchdown passes and zero interceptions. Mm-hmm. By the way, we also have Gary Kubiak, our offensive coordinator. And by the way, we have a little running back named Justin Forsett, who for the season averaged 5.4 yards per carry. Remarkable football team. And for Flacco, I know a lot of the Flacco fans go back to 2012, but really, go back to 2014, go watch the game and watch Flacco play in this game. He is a maestro. And this, like Ken said, we didn't get the outcome we wanted. This should have been the moment where the Ravens were like two ships crossing in the night. We were going to elevate beyond Tom Brady, and Tom Brady was going to sink beneath us. It didn't happen. we know why.
Yeah, so this was the Ravens. They'd already won two out of three at Foxborough. They were literally the only team that I think Patriots fans had concerns about coming to Foxborough and beating them. And they, mm-hmm. you know, the Patriots are a big favorite in this game. I don't remember by exactly how much. Might have been about seven. Might have been a little bit more. But anyway, they literally feared no one else, I think, at the time. The previous week, the Ravens had really exercised an enormous demon, not just for, you know, getting rid of the Steelers in the playoffs, which was the first time they'd done that, but they hadn't beaten Pittsburgh in the playoffs in forever. And I can say personally, I was at two losing game sevens of the World Series to the Pirates in the 70s and 71 and 79. They'd lost all the playoff games that had been played against the Steelers in 01, 08, 10. And that's it. Just those three. Right. And then they finally won in 14, got over the hump. If you're an old Baltimore Clippers fan, they had a lot of trouble with Pittsburgh back in the 1970s. So it really just was one-sided city-to-city rivalry that had never worked out. And to get over that hump, it felt like, you know, going to New England was a familiar stomping grounds. We're in four playoff games now. The Ravens have destroyed the Patriots twice, and they've lost two close games, as unfortunately this would be one of them.
Absolutely.
So take us through, where are we in the game at this point when Darryl Smith makes his big play?
Okay, we open up with a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. First drive, Flacco gets a touchdown to Kamar Aiken. A little bit later in the quarter, he throws a touchdown pass to Steve Smith, who roasts Darrell Revis. I think Revis only gave up two touchdown passes that entire season. But the Patriots were resilient, and they came back, tied it in the second quarter. There's about 2 minutes left. We're punting. We punt the ball to New England, and Brady gets the ball, moves it to like the 40-yard line. There's about a minute 15 left. They get a 5-yard false start penalty. But on first and 15, he drops back. He's looking for Gronkowski. He's got ample time and space, plenty of time to throw. Doomerville is not doing much this day, unlike what he did the previous week. Mm-hmm. But the throw is a line drive rope over the middle, and he doesn't see Darryl Smith. And it's an easy, I mean, this is easy interception. And we've seen Brett Favre throw dumb interceptions in playoff games. But this is a foolish play for Tom Brady. And he immediately grabs his helmet in disgust. And then when he goes to the sideline, instead of screaming at his offensive lineman, which he normally would do, he sits on the bench and puts his hands in his head and stares at the ground in shock. And of course, Joe Flacco takes the ball, moves the ball downfield, and he throws out to Steve Smith, who gets a pass interference on Darrell Revis. This is the only pass interference on Darrell Revis all year. It's just magic. And then in the red zone, we find Owen Daniels for a touchdown under the crossbar, very reminiscent of the touchdown passes to Anquan Boldin in 2012. Owen Daniels was very special. We did not have a lot of luck with Dallas Clark when he was here in the previous years. But Owen Daniels was one of, I got it here, 10 receivers Flacco threw to in the first half of that football game. Steve Smith, Torrey Smith, Kamari Aiken, Marlon Brown, Michael Campanaro, who caught four balls in this game and only had 13 catches in his first 3 years. Fitzgerald Toussaint, Kyle Juszczyk, Justin Forsett, Crockett Gilmore, and Owen Daniels.
Interesting. I do not remember this -7 to Toussaint. I'd have to go back and take a look at it, but I just don't remember that play. It's a little bit weird, but yeah, that's Daniels was the primary receiver that day with 4 of 11 caught. Marlon Brown is another name from Ravens history that I think a lot of people have forgotten, but you know, he really helped. He had some big catches for the Ravens. That I guess one I really remember is in the back of the end zone against Minnesota to win that 5 touchdowns last 2 minutes game. But Darryl Smith, another, I wanted to point this out here. He's definitely a linebacker who could close the window on a passing lane very effectively. And I don't remember, actually, I didn't go back to watch, whether this was a coming from the same direction as the receiver and he just cut underneath the ball, or did he come from the other direction and was closing the window to cut underneath the ball? Do you recall?
He came from underneath.
It was almost a
straight drop, and that's what made it. He wasn't even near the receiver because Brady should have feathered it over top of him. He was targeting Gronk, who would have been in coverage against Melvin, who they had on Gronk in that particular instance, which would have been a bad Rashawn Melvin. And Darryl Smith was really kind of cool about him. The previous year, we signed him the same day that the Ravens celebrated the 2012 championship at Washington with the president. So a lot of people didn't even realize it was June 5th. It was an after June signing. So a lot of fans didn't even pay attention to it. He wore number 52 in Jacksonville, and he would be the heir apparent to Ray. And then the Ravens had to make a decision. Can they bring him back? And in 2014, they offered him a 2-year deal right before drafting C.J. Mosley. So they had Mosley and Smith in the middle of this defense.
Yeah, that was a hell of a combination, and no problem with Darryl being the weak side linebacker in that group. Tremendous instincts, and you know the Ravens have not had a whole lot of that at inside linebacker since Mosley left. Is a guy who really understands what's going on behind him between level 2 and 3. If you've listened to this show even once, you probably heard me say that in some form or another, but with Darryl Smith and Mosley on the same team, they really had something. They had good, you know, they had a great pass rush in 2014 that could have taken them all the way. I think they did have a problem at cornerback, and that was one of the things that showed up at the rest of this game.
Yes. Melvin had 11 tackles in the game, which was too many tackles for a cornerback. The pass rush was not getting to the edge in this game. And Brady, to his credit, he had lost an offensive lineman, and he was stepping up And this is where I was feeling and watching the game. I was very disappointed. Timmy Jernigan had a sack. But I was very disappointed that Haloti Ngata could not exert more pressure in the interior line to prevent Brady from stepping up and making all those passes in the fourth quarter against us in this game.
Yeah, the other guy who had a sack in this game, Pernell McPhee, and I don't remember if it was a half or a full, but he had a sack involvement. He really drove the Ravens' pass rush in this season. They had 56 sacks, the second most they've ever had behind the 2006 season, which had 60. But Pernell McPhee was the man. And if you watch him getting double.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. Because when I'm not podcasting, I am. My day job is a smart home specialist. And the Eufy Video Smart Lock is perfect. This is what you guys need to go get. It replaces the deadbolt on your door. So now you can come home without fumbling with keys. You can just type in a code. Or, even better, use your fingerprint to unlock after 1 second. You put your finger there, pops out, my door's open. It's perfect. It also is an integrated video doorbell. We've all seen the video doorbells. We all know the ones that are out there. I've seen many of them get stolen. No one's going to steal this because it's your door lock. It's impossible for them to steal. There's no monthly fee. Other ones do. But this one, it'll record locally, so you never have to pay if you don't want to. The battery, it lasts up to 4 months. Plus, it notifies you ahead of time. And I mentioned earlier, 1 second fingerprint recognition. No, I meant 1 second till it opens. The AI self-learning chip will learn your fingerprint even faster, and then it opens up. Completely keyless entry. No more keys. And I know I set this up as I'm a smart home specialist, but anyone can install this. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. And then you're done. Guys, I love this product. Make sure you check it out. Now, here's the easiest thing to do. Just go on to Google or whatever you prefer and search Eufy Video Lock. That's E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door, just like me, just like Ken.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Doubled the whole season, you realize just how easy, not easy a job of it, because it's never really easy, but how Suggs and Dumervil are able to fan out alternately and sometimes on the same play on the outside, getting a nice one-on-one matchup against a tackle to try and get to the quarterback. The Ravens didn't really have to blitz a lot. They still did from time to time, but Pease was more conservative about that, and he should have been because he had McPhee, and dropping a seven to coverage when one of your guys is Rashawn Melvin is not a bad idea. Melvin, by the way, I think he was still playing in the NFL this last year. He actually came in 2014 for the Ravens and had an incredible start. His first game, I think he made the tackle on four of his first five plays, or he might have had a pass defense or a tackle on four or five plays, and they were all, you know, downhill, short tackles, forced incompletions, all that sort of thing on the plays he was having, or run plays that they were. And he actually played very well for the Ravens that season. In a lot of ways, I don't know if it's been that play, because you can't play poorly for a long extended period of time and still stay in the NFL, but Rashawn Melvin certainly made a name and a place for himself in the NFL off his time with the Ravens, even though in this critical game, he certainly didn't play his best.
Well, either did Darrell Revis, so.
So in the next week, the story's still not done.
Oh, yes.
But the game's still done.
In the second half, we add a fourth touchdown to Forsett, and it's 28-14. But there's not much to say after that. We are out of defensive backs, and we're not getting pressure. We're not getting outside pressure with Dumervil, who had a big game the previous week against Big Ben, or Suggs, or, like I said, Haloti Ngata pressuring the middle, and Brady just ate us up. But this is, in watching this on television, this was This was the Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels. This was like the big game of that weekend. And he was just really talking about how, wow, it's amazing how one play can change the momentum of a game. And I thought that would be good for your series, that one play.
Yeah.
It didn't finish with a win for the Ravens, but that one play seemed to indicate that, is Brady going to win another Super Bowl? Because he, 2004 was his third. It had been 10 years, two bitter Super Bowl defeats to Eli Manning in there. In the AFC, he's got three rings. Big Ben's got two. Peyton's got one. Flacco's got one. And it could very well be Flacco could be getting his second ring in another couple quarters. And we have Gary Kubiak as our brilliant offensive coordinator. All this, of course, doesn't work out. And in the very next week, after we lose this game, it's Deflategate. That's the Colts at New England, the Deflategate. So if the Ravens hold on to win this game,
yeah,
there's no Deflategate.
That, yes, New England's out of the playoffs, and that would have been wonderful. Everybody had been happy. There's no suspension of Tom Brady in 2015. Of course, that didn't help the Ravens at all because the Ravens had an injury-marred season that year. What was interesting about the Deflategate thing, and I'm really glad that the NFL was able to track it down and investigate it the way they did, because it really needed to be done. They would probably never have been found if there wasn't an interception late in the first half, very similar to this Darryl Smith interception. I think it was also a linebacker, but I don't remember who it was, who took the ball to the sideline with him. You know, and it's common, you know, you take the ball to the sideline because you want to save it. Of course, each team provides its own balls to the quarterback, and they can pressurize them within a certain limit. Well, Belichick had figured out how to game the system a little bit by putting the balls probably in the dryer or another heating device so that he would take the balls always late to the officials to be tested for their PSI rating. And because when the ball is heated, it will read as being more pressurized. I don't know, understand the physics of it completely, but or physics or chemistry, whichever it is, I don't understand. But anyway, he could always guarantee he'd get a very immediate reading right out of the dryer if he would take the balls to them and hand them to them at the last second. Well, Brady still apparently wasn't satisfied with the, by the way, the balls would then deflate naturally from that point to a lower PSI during the game. So they get that's the point I missed there, that they would get done. Well, anyway, Brady still wasn't happy with the, you know, throwing the kind of ball he wouldn't have wanted, even more deflated ball that he could use. And then that's when the Jankowski or whoever the guy was, you know, was using the needle in the bathroom trick at the last moment to deflate them even more. And then when they found out all that, and they went on his phone and everything to get that, the couple of Patriots employees that were involved. Then a lot of stuff came out about how Brady given them memorabilia in exchange for you know, doing some deflating of the balls and whatnot. So quite a story there at the time in terms of what it was. But boy, ugly piece of Brady history and a very well-earned suspension there.
There's a lot of interesting little snippets about this game. This is the game where Harbaugh got 15-yard on sportsmanlike because he was furious about the refs giving New England a first down when they were late reporting their eligible receivers. And this really helped them because they had lost an offensive lineman anyway, so they were going to be swapping guys every play. And in one particular play, I watched the running back, I believe Bolden, run to the Z wide receiver position and as an ineligible and wave his arms at the snap of the ball. And if you're a Raven defender, you're thinking, why is he waving his arms if he's ineligible?
It's the part I object to is not that. Because if he lined up within one of the first five and he's not, the front five that he centered, then that's fine. He's covered. He's not eligible. The Ravens got to be able to pick that up. The problem was that they had, I think, Manu Malialu or I don't know, or I'm
Brandon getting the name Mana Malagalo, I think.
That's the guy?
Yeah.
There's another one that's like a hoo-hoo, but I might be mistaken. Anyway, I don't want to do this on air here right now and try and look it up.
Yeah, it's Michael Michael H.
Michael H. Anyway, Michael H. was on and off eligible and ineligible on a by-play basis. And Harbaugh's argument was that the Ravens should be allowed to substitute defensively if they have an exchange of the eligible receiver. So they should be able to stop the play. Well, the Patriots wanted to run no huddle and do that. And there's no doubt about it. They talked to the officials before the game, and the officials made a ruling on it then. And in any case, the rule was subsequently changed in that offseason to not allow for that kind of chicanery. It wasn't a bad look for the Patriots. I think that's an intelligent use of the rules. But boy, a team that's willing to do that deserves every bit of punishment for Deflategate at the same time.
I would agree with that.
All right, Doug, just an absolute pleasure having you on. Obviously, reliving that game is not always the most pleasant experience for us Ravens fans, but a game that the Ravens certainly had a chance to take it to New England once again. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on YouTube. I have a channel, Shrimp Trawler channel, and I do Stratomatic baseball games from the 1970s, from 69 to 1984. Mm-hmm. A very good era for the Orioles. From Mike Cuellar to Mike Flanagan, from 69 to 84, you could say. And I do recreations for your carryover league. You can find those games on YouTube under Shrimp Trawler.
It's pretty cool. Two Cy Youngs in 69 and 79 there. Yeah, yeah. I grew up playing not Stratomatic baseball, Sports Illustrated baseball for the 1970. I don't know if you've ever seen the game, but for the 1971 game is the one I had as a kid. And we must have played close to 1,000 games of that in terms of what we did over the years, but it was a lot of fun. And I really liked the mechanic of the game. And later on, I got into Stratomatic and really enjoyed that too, but I'm going to give your channel a try because that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. You mentioned Ron Hunt, a baseball player who got hit by pitches on one of your podcasts. And I said, you know what? Not a lot of people know about Ron Hunt unless you play a stats-based game. And I'm sure Ken is familiar that way.
Yeah, the 71 Expos, certainly. That was one of their big strengths is Ron Hunt getting hit by the pitch. Again, thanks for coming on. Other folks who would like to do this, give me it's easiest if you DM me on Twitter. I'll get back to you very quickly. I hopefully will have the thing scheduled, and I'll be with you within about a week in terms of total turnaround time. We do have a big stack of these waiting to be aired. And I apologize for that taking a long time. But on the other hand, I think this content is just great, and it goes great really any time of year. So if you're looking for your Ravens fix, hopefully you'll tell people about this pod. Doug, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks again, Ken. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.